if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And again, as I said at the outset there, what we're doing is we're going over the issue of the sonship survey here. And the issue of that sonship, even though it's not a word that is in the Bible, as many have said, what it is, it's the issue of, it's just like we use the word workmanship. When someone makes something and someone can look upon it and they can behold its beauty, or what the person who created it, the work that they put into it, what we'll talk about his workmanship, how he handcrafted it in with a purpose. And so that's why it's essential to fully understand what's said there about the issue about a sonship and the idea of you receiving that spirit of adoption, the word of God to provoke you to cry, Abba, Father, to want to labor with him, to be more than just justified. And this is the doctrine that we've been going over here. But again, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? And let's take a look at verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, what we're going to do is just do a step-by-step survey of going over the doctrine contained there. It's quite a bit to go over, but we went over in more detail all the verses there. But dealing with verse 26 here, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And as we've seen last week, that how the Spirit helps our infirmities, what the Spirit, God's Word, what it's doing for the hope doctrine there that we're saved by. You're saved by a hope doctrine because you're taking God's word. And within his word, it's telling you how you ought to be patient and hope in what you're going to get, all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places that you see. You're to operate upon that hope in those things. And that's how the Spirit works to help your infirmities. That's how it works to help you when you're going through the sufferings of this present time. Or it says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And it says in verse 26, Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And we dealt with that issue there about praying for not knowing what to pray for as we ought. We looked at how Paul himself, said he didn't know how to pray for, he didn't know how to pray as he ought. When Paul besought the Lord three times, that something depart from him. Now, at that time, you got to remember, Paul was our apostle. He was getting revelation from the Lord. As he said, many for the abundance of revelations. But he still didn't know how to pray for as he ought. He didn't have that maturity as he ought to yet. And Timothy, when you look at Timothy, when Paul says Timothy had the spirit of fear, and Timothy was ashamed. Remember, Paul said Timothy was like-minded with him. This was earlier that Paul said Timothy was like-minded with Paul. He was a mature saint. But yet still, he still needed to do as Paul said, stir up that gift that is in him, that was given to him by the putting on of Paul's hands, meaning What Paul is saying, Paul is saying he put the work in himself by his own, with his own hands. And that's not saying that Paul laid, touched the guy and touched Timothy and Timothy got knowledge. That's not what it's saying. That's not the gift he means, that he labored with his own hands. He labored with Timothy. And there's a, and Timothy has doctrine within him. He's just allowing the spirit of fear. He's allowing his own inner man to be full of fear or full of being ashamed within his inner man, his spirit. But we know what to pray for as we ought when we take God's word and we see how we judge things of this world based upon what God's word says. And when we come to God in prayer, we should know that we're not going to come to God in prayer about an issue at work. And most of the time, the things that a lot of people go and pray to God about or for, it's usually a sonship decision anyway. It's usually a decision we ought to be able to make as a mature son on our own. But, you know, when we go to God in prayer, we ought to let him know our heart's desire. We ought to let him understand, let him know that how his word is taking effect with us or how we're not allowing it to take effect inside of us. So as we see here in verse 26, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's God the Father. And we've looked at those verses there. We looked at those verses, and we might take a run through a couple of them. We looked at those about how God does search the hearts of men. And when you come to him in prayer, he knows how you are allowing his word to work effectually or not working effectually within you. Yeah, that's what he's making. That's what he does. But he's not going to analyze you before you get to him, because God in his omnipotence, what he does is he's reserving himself the right to not to be so always in the know, if I can just say that. What I mean is, man, it's just like when Adam sins, or when Cain slew Abel, the father asked the question, "Where were you?" Or "Where's thy brother?" He reserved them the right to say it, and that's the way the Father works. Now, so. Let's see, and verse 27 here, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's his word, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, and that's how it always works. God's word will step in and be that help and be that comfort, as God being the God of all comfort. It'll be that comfort for you, but only according to the will of God. You know, some people will say all day, I've heard people say many times they're hoping that God sends them somewhere. I heard someone say, they said they're going to be in church, well, in the church building. They said they're going to be there from the 26th all the way to New Year's Day, around the clock, because they're doing this so they can have relationships, a better relationship. Things aren't going good in their life, and a lot of people think that that's how it's done. But that's not the case. Now, if you will, you turn your Bibles to you turn your Bibles over to. Just trying to save a little. Don't want to go back too far into what we've been doing. Let's take a look at this here. Let's look at verse 28 here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And this is something else that we've looked at here. We've looked at this because that's how Paul, all things work together for good to Paul. They work together for good to Paul because he knew that when he's weak, that Christ's strength is made perfect in his weakness. And again, it says to them that love God. And we went over that whole issue about what the real love of God is. And the real love of God is not you loving God just because he justifies you. It's you loving God based upon imitating or in that like same likeness that Christ had and that the Father had when he gave up of himself. And we see Paul did the same thing when Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Paul wanted the infirmities because he knew what the bigger picture was. He knew that when he was weak, then Christ's strength was made perfect. That's the love that we are asked to display. Those, the ones that walk that way, they are them that love God, the called according to his purpose. Paul couldn't say the same thing about the Corinthians or the Galatians. They were for themselves. As we see, they were beige. They were foolish Galatians. And now let's stop here. And I want to come back to the book of Proverbs. Come back to Proverbs. And what we'd like to do is, what I'd like to do here is go over some of the issues of the Proverbs and look at how now how all this applies to what we're learning here right now. And oftentimes, some people, when they teach the issue here of sonship or the adoption of sons, they'll teach the Proverbs right along with this. But I'm doing it a little differently here because what I want to do is now I want to draw a parallel to what we've already covered, a parallel from what's being said there to what's being covered here. And again, the Proverbs is an interdispensational book. It speaks of the behavior of man. It speaks of man's wisdom, or it speaks of God's wisdom. And it shows the difference there. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, let's take a look at verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge, the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, many times over and over, every book other than Philemon, Paul says, for it is written, or Paul would say, as it is written, or he'll say, he'll make a quote from Scripture all throughout Paul's epistles. Now, when it comes to the mystery, Paul can't do that because that was the gospel kept secret and kept hid. But when Paul is going over the issue of whether it's justification or whether he's talking about sanctification, he goes back and he talks about as it is written. He does it over there in 1 Corinthians 15 when he's talking about justification. He's talking about how, he says how Jesus Christ was buried and rose again from the dead as according to the scriptures. And then he said it again. He's buried once in the third day according to the scriptures. Then when he's talking about sanctification over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he's talking about how Israel did when Moses led them out and how they rose up and to play, and we shouldn't lust after evil things, he's explaining to you something that happened with Israel and drawing a parallel with us. So again, a lot of people will say, well, you guys need to stay out of the Old Testament. You know, you rightly divide the word of truth only. And you ought to rightly divide the word of truth to know where and when God is talking to Israel or talking with us. But again, dealing with the Proverbs, it's an interdispensational book. Don't want to spend too much time on that. But here, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my son. And this is David speaking to Solomon, a father to son there. If thou will receive my words. And notice that if thou wilt receive. Because not all our children are going to receive our words. Not all of them are going to incline their ear to what we're saying or take it to heart like we, that terminology that we've used many times. They're not going to want to cry after more knowledge from us. They're not going to lift up their voice to get more understanding, for understanding, asking questions, so to speak, about your business. And when we come to our children and we're dealing with them in this situation here, you want them to come to you when they come to you with questions based upon what you've taught them. You don't want them to come to you and say, hey, mom or dad, what do you think about the new video game that just came out? Or what do you think about some of the things that kids come up with nowadays that only stirs their heart? What shoes, the new shoes that just came out, or whatever the issue could be. We're going to look upon that as a waste of time. We want them to come to us with judgment decisions based upon how they're going to have to deal with this world out here. So that's the same thing as if we come to our Father about things that are not according to his purpose or his will, when we don't want to receive his words. We'll say we do, but that, you know, that's why I said, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. When you hide someone's commandments, someone's words, someone's rules, or someone's ordinances with them, that's something that they take it where they can't even let go of it. It's within them. It's hidden within them. Something they'll remember and cherish forever. And it says, incline thine ear unto wisdom. A lot of times, you could be talking to your children, and it'll go, like what it says, go in one ear, right out the other ear. When you incline your ear to something, what you do is you zone in on that thing. You make sure you single it out and apply thine heart to understanding. Our heart can go wherever we want it to go. We can set our heart, our affection, not just our love, but our affection on the one thing that we feel should be at the top shelf. And that's the way God wants us to do with his word and his wisdom. And we should want the same thing for our children. Verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge. Criest after it. Does that sound familiar with in Romans, as we've seen there, in Romans 15, Romans 8, verse 15, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Crying after knowledge. That's you want it. You want it just that bad. And look at verse 4. This is how we ought to want it. And this is being likened to earthly things. If thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And when some look at this, they'll say, oh, this is just David speaking to Solomon here. You're reading too much into it. It has nothing to do with God's speaking to you as a son. No, this is what it's saying here. This is not saying, then shalt thou understand the fear of David and find the knowledge of David, your father. No. It says, then, when you do this, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This is what it's speaking of here. And this is about the son doing something. And this won't get done unless the son is being preserved and kept by their doctrine. And it's about giving this wisdom and leading them on the right path. Look at verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That's his word. That's how his word does. Verse 8, he keepeth the path of judgment. He preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. And you see, only then will thou understand it. Will you understand that? It's about his word. When you have that wisdom and that knowledge there, and your heart is applied onto understanding, that's when you're going to understand right the righteousness of God, the judgment of God, the equity of God, yea, every good path. You're going to have the mind of Christ. You're going to know how to properly judge as a son, a mature son. You're going to do as Paul. You're going to be Paul. You're going to be Timothy. You're going to be ones who would say, man, I rather glory in my infirmities. Look at what verse 9 says. Verse 10 says, when wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. And you see, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So if the knowledge of God is going to be pleasant, but other things might be going on around you. But you're going to say, I most rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, when I am weak, then I am strong. But that's going to be wisdom doing that for you. It's not going to be Dr. Phil or these other people that sell these books out here. It's not going to be those guys. It's going to be God's word, his word. It says, when wisdom enters into thy heart, not when the bestseller from T.D. Jakes enter into your heart, or whoever. It's God's word, your father's word. That's what's being taught here to receive. That's what you ought to incline your ear onto wisdom and apply your heart onto understanding. Christ after knowledge of his word. Lift up your voice for his understanding. Treasure it as look upon it as silver, hidden treasures. And hidden treasures, you want to search it out, as the verse says there. And look at verse 10. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. And it does. But Paul understood something when he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And also, I could use, I like using that instance right there because many people are familiar with that. We don't have to turn right there. But there's many other places, many other scriptures that we looked upon, how the Philippians, Paul said how they also were going through the same thing. And Paul says in Philippians 1:29, he says, not only is given on the behalf of Christ for you to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And then he said that they already were doing that. And the Thessalonians, how they suffered like things of their countrymen, and they were going through tribulations. But, and then look at verse 12 here. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And that's delivering. His word does that. His word does that. And if you're in the way of the evil man, is this world's doctrine. The evil man is the evil woman is that bad doctrine, that false doctrine, but the evil man is this world's way of doing things. That we ought to be delivered from that. That's not something that's a good thing to have lead us in our way. And let's look at this here, verse 13. Who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with her flattered words. Now, again, that strange woman is bad doctrine. That's evil, the contrary doctrine. Because as you've seen, that the term her was looked upon as being God's wisdom. And like we see at verse number 4, if thou and searcheth for her as for his treasures. So the strange woman would be contrary doctrine. And, you know, we ought to be warned about that bad doctrine and also that the churches that preach that stuff. And see, a lot of times we think the only thing that they do wrong in there is tithe, baptize, speak in tongues, and they say they heal people. But that's not the only thing that's wrong in those places. There's much carnal thinking that we ourselves ought to take heed to. Because other than justification, there's absolutely nothing that they do that's according to his will or his purpose. Now let's come back to Romans 16. Come back to Romans chapter 16. Well, let's go to Romans 16. We were in the book of Romans. But let's go to Romans chapter 16. And let's take a look at some of the other things, because when we're seeing this here, we gotta make sure what we're doing is always according to his purpose. And Paul said that over again in Romans 8. You don't have to turn back there, but in Romans 8:27, Paul says, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then in verse 28, he says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's according to, because that makes a big difference. That means there's other ways to do it. There's other ways to do things, but the best way to do it is according to God's way. And we need to make sure our path and our way is according to his way. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, again, I'm just taking a look at the according to issue here. Paul saying, not to him that is of power to establish you. Paul says, according to my gospel. Now, again, if Paul left the according to off, he would just say, now to him that is of power to establish you, pretty much, to establish you. But this is to be done in the way of according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, not just the preaching of Jesus Christ, but how? According to the revelation of mystery. And in verse 26, but now it's made manifest and by the scripture of the prophet, of prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Now, what this is saying here, a lot of people they look over this part here, but what's being said is the mystery that Paul is preaching is now being made manifest. That's new. That was just now revealed to Paul, a gospel kept hid within himself, but is now made manifest by Paul, comma, and by the scriptures of the prophet. But, and this says, which is, this is something different here. This is, Paul is making known, not only is he just making known to us the mystery, Paul's also going over the justification aspect. He's going over some sanctification issues. And we've seen that. Romans 15, Paul brings up, as it is written. All through the book of Romans, Paul says, for it is written, or as it is written. Or he goes back and he talks about some of the scriptures of the prophets there. And he says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. Why? For the obedience of faith. That's all nations. Paul's our apostle. Every man and woman underneath the stars on this earth, this is the doctrine that they ought to have for the obedience of faith. This is their marching orders. Now let's take a look at 2 Timothy. Come to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Let's 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. And let's take a look at verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, as you see here, Paul says in verse 8, he says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. How? According to the power of God. That's how you're to do it. You could be a partaker of the gospel, but you could not have wisdom in it. You could be a partaker of it, and you could just fall apart. You could just want to throw in the towel. You could just have that spirit of fear like Timothy had. And if Timothy kept allowing himself to have that spirit of fear, Timothy would have been a partaker of the afflictions, but he wouldn't be doing it according to the power of God. The power of God is when you're weak and you understand this doctrine, when you are weak, and you allow God's word to work effectually within you, then you become strong, and the power of Christ is being put on display. That power of God is being put on display there. That's how you can be partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Because again, you don't have to understand a doctrine You don't have to be them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, to be going through the afflictions of the gospel. But you ought to be one so you can understand and be like Timothy learned how to be. Look at verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And you see all that, you see this issue here about who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to, see, it's not according to our way or our path, but according to his way and his path. That's what it's about, according to his own purpose and grace. That's the same thing we've seen over there, according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. To them who are the called according to his purpose. That's what this is talking about here. This is what it means to be the called according to his purpose. Not just the justification thing, where people said, well, I'm the called because I'm justified. No, that's not what it's saying. Because you're justified, you ought to want to be the called, as it says there, and wants to be the ones who accepts this holy calling, who wants to be a partaker and not doing it according to our own works. And these same people that would say this, they only have their purpose in mind or their own works in mind when they want to come to the Father and say, Father, I need this done for me, or can you do this? And you know, it's not about that. And when you look at that issue, it says, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And see, what that means is, it's by the Spirit. That's, which is word that was already written and foreknew before the world began. That's what that's about. His word was written. That's part of that foreknown plan. When we see whom he did foreknow and predestinating, all that right there. You know, we have to understand. We have to do it according to his purpose and his will. But every churchgoer is going to say, "Oh, I'm doing it according to his will and his purpose." You know. But they think that's because they think their pastor's following the same proper establishment doctrine. When in turn, they're following the commandments and doctrine of men. They think they're doing things like staying at the church building for all day long is really holy. That's going to mean something. That there's going to be extra blessings the longer you stay in there, or the more money you give, or they'll say, well, at least I'm not out partying like most people celebrating the new year. I'm bringing the new year in church. Well, no one says you have to go do that either. And whether you're sitting in a church building watching plays or whatever else they're doing in there, or whether you're out partying or whatever people do, got to understand that you're still, it's all about edification. And as far as that goes, you probably have no more edification going on in that church building all day long, nor as you will doing what people do out there. Only thing is that what the people do out there with the partying and whatever that is, you see what that is. That's men going their own way. But that strange woman would have people saying that this is God, that this is truth, that this is the way. And having people follow something saying that this is God. That's the strange woman. That's that contrary evil doctrine. Now let's take a look at the issues there. Now we looked at, we don't have to go back to Romans chapter 8 because I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that. Come over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And what I want to take a look at here is we're going to look at the rest of the verses there, verses 29 through verses 31. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, sorry. And what we're looking here at is when Paul says in verses 29 through 30, Paul says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, and so on. So what we're doing here, I'm going to take a look at this this issue here about that, the call and that issue of the foreknown plan and the predestinated plan and the idea that Paul says, for whom he called, he also justified, or whom he justified, he also glorified. And we're going to see that here in these verses here. Ephesians 1, let's look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, again, as I said before, when you look at these, you're going to see all these things that he's done for us. These are all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're revealed in Ephesians chapter 1. The whole chapter is all your spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're all right there in Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, verse 4. This is one of them. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that's a foreknown plan there. He's chosen us. That's one thing. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. That's another thing he's given us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Does that sound familiar there to you? We've been predestinated. That means he has a predesigned plan for our destiny. That's so his sons and daughters will succeed in being ones that will functionally live according to his purpose and his will, just like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, as being the Son. And we're being conformed to the image of his Son. Now, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made us accepted in the beloved. That's another thing we're given. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's the idea of us being justified there. When it says, and whom we justified, then we also glorified. And you see, to be the praise of the glory of his grace, that glorified. Look at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Another thing. All wisdom and prudence he's abounded towards us. Look at verse 9, another thing. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. You notice this according to he made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That's what he's made. He's already made known. It's already given unto us. You have it in front of you. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we also obtained an inheritance, being what? Predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, not our will. His own will. Well, you get the picture there. I don't need to go to the other verses that speak on this issue here, but you get the issue there about how God the Father has the provisions that he's made for us there So if you will turn back to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, we're gonna finish up that that little section there. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 29. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, when you look at that issue of being the firstborn among many brethren, that's not speaking about justification there. And I heard a guy say this conformed to the image of his son. He thought that this was speaking of the issue about that new body that we're going to get, and that Christ got a body, and then we're going to get a body also, and that's what's being said here. And that's not what being conformed to the image of his son is. That's not why it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You wouldn't be, that wouldn't be an issue about why he foreknew you and why he predestinated you. That was already a settled issue before Paul was even raised up. That when Christ himself had that resurrected body and he walked amongst saints, they had the understanding that he wouldn't be, that would be the issue with him. Remember it talks about Christ being the first fruits to them that slept? That's speaking about Israel there. This was being spoken of here about conforming us to the image of his son. That's speaking about doing something with your inner man. That your inner man would have that image there of the son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what the adoption of sons is all about. That's what this whole chapter, the chapter is about. And when you look at Romans chapter 9, Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption. That's who it pertained to. But enough of that. If you want to, you know, listen to more of that there, or go over that issue, you can just go back into the archive section, the audio section, and you'll find that study there on the site, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism.net. But look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And there is something we ought to say. We ought to look upon what's said there, all those things that we have, and we ought to know God is for us. We ought to know that God is for us, and there's no one could be against us, not even our own selves, as our own worst enemy. And we need to understand that we can be that own worst enemy. But when we go through things in life, when we face the sufferings of this present time or the sufferings of Christ, we need to understand we are to operate upon a hope doctrine. And that hope doctrine is based upon what we see in the scriptures there. The scriptures gives us what we need as comfort. And just like Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 about knowing God as the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Because we take his word and we rejoice in that. We allow that to be what we are to say, to put front and center instead of whatever we're going through. And we're to take the verses, and then take what we have, what we're going through, whatever situation that pains us, whatever infirmity that we have, we take that in one hand, and we take all the spiritual blessings that we have in the other hand. And we say, this is not worthy to be compared to what I got in this hand over here. When you read, whenever you're going through something, read Ephesians chapter 1 first. Look at all those things there and look at it with the same value that you ought to have of what he's done on his behalf according to his purpose, which he purposed in himself. And a lot of people look upon this time of year as a gift-giving time of year. And when people give gifts, you want some people to, you want someone to value what you've given them, not just to take it and throw it to the side and say, okay, well, what else you got for me? You know, you want them to place a value and appreciate the time you spent in preparing this for them. And the Father also wants us to look upon that, the things, the spiritual blessings that we have, go through each one of those, and each one of them, and value each one. And then, if that's not enough, go to look at Romans here. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14 on down. It talks about verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Look at verse 29 through verse 31. What he's done, he foreknew us. He predestinated us. He glorified us. He justified us. He called us. That ought to be enough to make you not want to even compare what you're going through. They're not even worthy to be brought up in the same conversation. Other verses, we're saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? There's many verses we can use to hold up in one hand against whatever we're facing in the other hand. And this is how you are to do when you get to verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that who can be whatever you have, whatever's going on. It could be bankruptcy. It could be stress. It could be anything. And you say, if God be for us, how can stress be against us? Or how can tribulation be against us? How can, it's not, because God is for us. Look at all he's done for us. It'll make you rejoice and glory in what he has already accomplished. That's how his word is designed to work for us. And a lot of times I don't like to harp too much on what, you know, the other denominations preach and teach out there. But we also ought to be warned. We ought to be warned because what they're teaching is not according to his purpose. And I like to point that out. And we ought to. Paul points it out. Paul points it out all the time. Paul talks about Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. He talks about Jannes and Jamborees and Hymenaeus and Philolytus and Demas left them and many other people. He calls them by name. Luke did the same thing in the book of Acts. He talked about many evil men. The ones that took a vow upon their head and said they won't eat until they've killed Paul, and so on and so on. But what this teaching is about, it's not about outer man, it's about your inner man only, and that inner man serving our Father, and our Father teaching us his ways and his thinking. And he wants us to labor with him and cry, Abba, Father. And that's how we ought to want to be educated. So with that, I'm going to close, and I'm opening things up for the Q&A session. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. Now, next week we're going to be going over verses 32 down to verse 34. And then after that, we're going to be going to the next week after that, we're going to be doing verse 35 to verse 39. And then we're going to start Romans chapter 9. And when we start Romans chapter 9, we're going to end up going into Israel's program. And that's going to be a very interesting study because we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to be looking at when Israel entered into that law contract, and a lot of interesting things associated with that. I'm going to take the first caller here at 3366. You're in the queue.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Ron.
Pretty good. How you doing, sister? How you been?
I'm doing great. I remember you putting the phone. Was that from you?
Oh, from
me?
Thank you.
Huh?
Oh, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What, I didn't hear the last part.
No, I was saying with the number, it came from Michigan. Was that from you?
Yes, it is. I changed my phone number. If you have, I don't know if you've seen it. It's did you see the number? It's a 313 number.
That's my
new number.
Now that's the old stuff. The 313.
It used to be 313-220-0461. That I changed that. So I have a new number now. This is the new number here.
Okay. Well, Acts 27, I was reading today.
Uh-huh.
And it was speaking on Paul, and it was there about people would lay many complaints against you, which they cannot prove. With Paul, they laid a lot of complaints against Paul, false things they said about him wasn't true, and brought up false accusations against him. So there's a lot of things, you know, I think about, God said, follow Paul as Paul follows Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that Paul is suffering, he did suffer. We started walking with Paul's footprints.
That's right. That's right. And then they did the same thing with the Philippians also. Philippians chapter 1, it talks about people preaching Christ out of envy and strife and contention and things like that. They were looking upon it. They looked upon as Paul as the evildoer, and then they said they also had the same conflict that Paul had, meaning they were doing the same thing with the Philippian saints. So, and also the Thessalonian saints, they were looked upon as preaching bad doctrine by their countrymen. So, and they were slandering them and things. So yeah, but what Paul says is Paul tells the Thessalonians, like we're using that one, Thessalonians chapter 2, I mean 2 Thessalonians, sorry, chapter 1, Paul says, in verse 6, well actually verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that he may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which he also suffered, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And so you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame of fire, taking vengeance on them which know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Okay? And this is going to take place in that day. So there are going to be, you know, there's going to be judgment for those that do that, but it's going to be in that day.
Right.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
But again, Yeah, but like verse 4 says, Second Thessalonians verse 4, it talks about that patience. You wish we have patience in all our persecutions and tribulations that we endure. So,
I find mine when since God saved me by grace, He's saved very relaxing to have Him to be the hope of glory in me and to do the suffering through me. Because if I had to do it, I don't think it would be pretty. You know what I'm saying?
No. Oh, I know what you're saying. Oh, yeah. Okay, I appreciate your comment and your question. I do appreciate that very, very much, as always.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'll talk to you later. Okay, you too. Talk to you later. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, and again, we're going to be going through the doctrine. Another thing I like to point out, haven't had a chance to announce it, but there is a Bible conference coming up in January there. There's a Bible conference coming up. It's in Texas, in Willis, Texas, which is outside of Houston, Texas. It's north of Houston, Texas, and I just want to give people the details if you can make it. I'm not sure if you can make it or not, but if you can, it would be appreciated. But it's going to be in Willis, Texas, and it's going to be January 20th and 21st, and there's going to be myself there. Pastor Trent Cole, it's going to be Bishop Michael McDaniel, it's going to be Pastor Gerald Wheaton, there's going to be Frank Tanner from Tennessee there, and it's going to be Brother Travis Bryan. So it's going to be a good affair there. So if you can make it there, I'll send out the details, things like that. But it's going to be January the 20th and the 21st. And it's going to be, again, it's going to be in Willis, Texas. So if you can, come on out. Appreciate it. And I'll give out more information on that issue there. So just making sure I have all that information right there. Yeah, January 20th and 21st, Willis, Texas there. And, yeah, I covered everybody's name. Okay. And I'll give you more information on that next week. Okay. So with that, I'm going to close. And I'm going to open things. Hopefully, next week, we're going to be right on pace. Because what we might do is right at the break, because there's going to be a break during that time. I won't be able to do the study at that time. Right after that, we'll go into our study on Israel in Romans chapter 9.